We're going to explore the meaning of truth, and the meaning of my kingdom is not of this world. And this is not for the faint-hearted. It is for those who have accepted the Christ message wherever it leads them. By way of introduction, I want to take you back to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, in which he makes the following statements, full of very unusual Oriental imagery. He's speaking about those who have stepped away from the knowledge of their source. And he does it this way. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth with hammers, worketh it with the strength of his arms, yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth, he drinketh no water and is faint. And the carpenter stretches out his rule, he marketh it out with lines, presses it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest, and he planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereon. He burneth part thereof in the fire, which part thereof he eateth flesh, and he roasteth roast, and he satisfieth. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. You see how far removed the man comes. Now he's got that fire which is keeping him warm. Forgotten is the tree that was planted, forgotten all the work into that, forgotten all that preceded the tree, forgotten is the seed. He comes further and further away into the material world, so that in Oriental imagery, burning wood, burning coals, is a symbol of being separate from source. Way back in Isaiah, forgetting there is one being, one spiritual self, man walks out into the material world, and in the Oriental mind, this comes in one form as burning wood or coals. And you're going to see this in the 18th chapter of John again. Now, we go to Peter, and we see in the 13th chapter of John, Peter makes the following statement to Jesus. Whither I go, says Jesus, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me later. And Peter says, Why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now in the 18th chapter of John, the damsel that kept the door said unto Peter, Art thou not also one of the man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And then the next phrase, the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Peter was separate from his source. He was burning coals, warming himself not with the inner light, but with the outer light. Not with the inner love, but with the outer sense of matter. Now the demonstration there is that even though Peter had great faith and great love, he was mentalizing faith, not realizing faith. We want to see the difference between mentalizing and realizing. We all can mentalize, and very few can realize. Peter's faith was the mental kind. He asserted he would lay down his life, and he really meant it. And when it came time to do so, he was willing to pull out the sword. But there was a moment when suddenly he was completely lost in the world of flesh, and he feared for his own safety. The life that he'd said he would lay down, he feared for. Why? Because his faith was insufficient? No, it's because he never had the right kind of faith. He had the faith of the mind, the faith that rests in what the mind thinks it knows. He had reached the state of mentalizing without realizing. He hadn't passed over the memory patterns of the mind. Now this week someone said to me, I have read in the Contemplative Life on page 132, I think he said, Joel says that the secret is to know the non-power of all appearances. And I'm trying to do it, but they always get me down anyway. What am I doing that's wrong? Now, that's like burning coals to keep warm. That's the obvious thing to do, so you do it. And it's also obvious to know truth with your mind, so you do it. And then it fails. And the reason it fails is because the mind has no capacity to know truth. What it thinks is truth is never truth. It's only its own concept of truth. And you have to go deeper than the mind knowing truth, because it always knows the illusion of truth. And so you finally come to a place where you see that your mind cannot take you into the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, or how dedicated, or how intelligent. Even though you know all the words, even though you stay up all hours to read and cram it in, and then the secret is that you have to know Christ in you. For Christ in you realizes, but your mind mentalizes. Your mind will always mentalize, and until it surrenders to Christ in you, there's no one, no self in you to realize. Only Christ can realize. And Peter's faith at that level is our own mental faith, which has to be transcended. You of your own self cannot have faith in God. You must reach the Christ of you, which is faith itself. And so if you're trying to remove a lack or a limitation, and all your mentalizing won't do it, it's for the same reason. The mentalizing can only grapple with the problem in its material aspects, and the mentalizing itself is part of the illusion. So we have to go further and further, and always, instead of walking into that particular problem, we walk into Christ and turn the problem over to the Christ of our own being, which then realizes what our mind couldn't realize. It realizes the non-reality of the problem. Now we're going to deepen in that aspect as we go along. The servants and the officers stood there. Now servants and officers refer to the principles of the mind which are inadequate. The thoughts of the human mind are the servants and the principles, and they are inadequate. And so it's the servants and the officers who stand there warming themselves. Our thoughts, our mentalizing is insufficient. They warmed themselves. Peter stood there and warmed himself. Once more, there will be another denial by Peter, and these three denials represent the final, complete denial of the mind of God. The mind has no capacity to know God. The cock crows, and this is the dawn of a new era. When the cock crows, this is the moment when Peter becomes totally repentant, meaning at that moment he learns the futility of the mind. His repentance begins with the crowing of the cock because it is a signal given to him about three denials. In each of us, then, there is a continued denial of Christ as we continue to utilize the mind to understand God. And you keep trying and deepening into the illusion as you want to understand, but you do not know, you cannot know God aright with the mind. So you keep trying in every fashion you know. And one day it dawns on you, and that dawning upon you that you cannot with the mind realize the kingdom of God, that is the cock crowing in your consciousness. The moment you reach the realization that I can no longer go in this direction of the mind, you have heard the cock crow. And now you're going to turn and live. You're going to say, this that faces me is not something I have to overcome with the mind at all. That would be a double illusion. First, the illusion of the thing to overcome, and then the illusion that you can overcome it with the mind. You don't heal a condition. You never heal a condition. And you never heal a condition out there. This week we had a call from a little girl in Wyoming, a student of our class who got married and went to Wyoming, who knew some degree of this work, enough so that there's a degree of fidelity to the truth within the girl. And we heard that she had a broken bone. It wasn't healing. And it was growing in the wrong direction. And so the doctor decided that unless they operated, that poor girl wouldn't be able to use that arm at all. And so an operation was scheduled, and we were called. And just before the operation, this girl did something that very few people do, and which we've never asked anyone to do. She said to the surgeon, I'd like you to take another x-ray just before you operate. And he said, well, it won't do you any good, but she said, well, do it just to please me then. And so he did. And when she called yesterday in the morning, she said, she was crying, and she said, he just called me and told me I would be doing you a disservice if I operate on that arm because healing is taking place. Now, this is Wyoming, and nobody healed her arm. Nobody went into Wyoming to heal her arm, and nobody knew she had a broken arm. That which is called a healing is now her consciousness becoming aware of her invisible perfection. Her arm isn't healing. She is becoming aware of the perfection, which is her divine birthright. If somebody had tried to heal her arm, she would have been under the knife of the surgeon that morning. If somebody had thought that she had a broken arm in Wyoming, she would have been under the surgeon's knife that morning. And the message is that you don't meet the so-called condition which you think is in Wyoming. You meet it where it comes to your attention. It comes to your attention where you are. It is brought to your conscious awareness. And that's where the healing takes place. It doesn't take place in Wyoming. Now then, somebody tells you they have a broken arm and they're in Wyoming, and you're called upon now to forget them in Wyoming. They have passed to you the world mind belief that there's a broken arm in Wyoming, and that belief is now right in your consciousness where you are, and that's where it must be healed. So you don't have her to heal, you have you to heal. You must heal your consciousness of the belief that there is a broken arm in a place called Wyoming. Now I cite this because the realization of healing within your own consciousness and not in the external world where the problem seems to be is going to be very useful to you. It might be your foot or your hand or your head, and you want to heal those, but that's not really what you must do to get rid of that nagging appearance. You must heal your consciousness of the illusion that this is the condition that you are suffering from. You're never suffering from a condition. The condition is not what you're suffering from. You're suffering from the belief that you have the condition. Get the distinction, because if you work on the condition, it lingers. You see, you're chasing after the illusion with the illusion that you can remove the illusion, or that you're trying to remove something that your mind tells you is supposed to be an illusion but is bothering you. It's the same thing as Peter. The faith of the mind is not enough. He's mentalizing. And when you're trying to get rid of the problem, the condition, you're mentalizing. You're not in a state of realizing. And realizing then is different in that you dismiss the condition. And you say, instead of what caused the condition, you ask yourself, what caused the belief in this condition? And the cause of the belief is the world mind, which has now placed a sense or a condition in your consciousness. Forget the body. Get into your consciousness and there erase the belief in the possibility that such a condition can exist where God is. And you find that this does the interesting thing of removing what appeared to be a condition. Several others in these last few days are important, and I must repeat them for your benefit. I told you about the individual whose blood pressure was up, and then, after calling for help, the blood pressure instantly went down 36 points, and the patient still felt terrible. And so he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, "What's happened to your blood pressure? I don't believe it. It's gone down 36 points overnight." And the minute the doctor showed him the chart that his blood pressure had gone down, he felt fine again. It's like Joel's story about the rain that had stopped. After 180 days, this country called him and the rain was stopped, but the condition of rain still remained. And they couldn't understand why the rain wasn't falling when all of the sky was so angry. And the same thing happened here. The man was still in a state of discomfort and pain and that sort of thing, but his blood pressure had dropped and he didn't know it. And when he discovered it through the doctor, then he felt good again. Always it's the belief which is the father to the condition, and the world mind is the father to the belief. And so you've got to get inside yourself and remove the belief. Now, a third case this week, and I don't often talk of these without a purpose, was a brain tumor. And this brain tumor was called to our attention 7 days before the operation was scheduled. And in the 7 days that we worked, for someone who actually was not at all in this work but was advised about us by the fellow whose blood pressure went down, and the tumor didn't disappear in the 7 days, so the operation went forth on schedule. Now, if this had been one of our students who, like the girl in Wyoming, could say to the doctor, "Why don't you take an x-ray just before you operate?"
we might have found a different case. We don't know. But in the course of the meditations for this girl, who was having a brain tumor surgery, we were given this information, which is always a sign of everything is finished and right. The information was that this woman would be sheathed in light during the operation. And although you might say, well, that's not very much to go by, it really is all you need if it's real, if it's a realization, not a mentalizing. If it's just a psychic thing, well, it's nothing. But if it's a realization of the actual spirit itself, then that's it, you see, because what happens in spirit today happens in the physical world tomorrow, the next day, or 100 years later. But spirit always precedes what comes out in time in matter. And so the morning after the operation, there was a call from the husband of the woman to the friend whose blood pressure had gone down, who in turn related to me that they had a perfect operation and that everything is benign and so on. They had no problem whatsoever. She actually was sheathed in light. The presence of spirit realized. Now again, that's not a condition out there. It's a condition of a spiritual realization within yourself. All of this is what Peter was still unaware of at this particular point. He was still in the awareness of flesh, not of spirit. And we all must come to the place now where when the Master speaks and says, my kingdom is not of this world, we've got to look that straight in the face. What is he saying to us? His kingdom, the Christ kingdom, is not of this world. And I want to give you a principle which is very stark and startling, because it leaves no alternatives, but it is a true principle. My kingdom is spirit. My kingdom is truth. And only spirit is truth. Only spirit is real. Spirit is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is reality. Spirit is all that is. And that which is not spirit is not real. Now that's stark in that whatever is not spirit is not real. And that's an absolute principle that you can depend on, even though before you come to the place where you learn how to depend on it, you may struggle quite a bit. Spirit is all that is real. My kingdom is not of this world, is the statement that my kingdom is spirit, and the world of matter is not my kingdom. It isn't a statement that you will graduate from the world of matter and eventually enter into the kingdom. It isn't a statement that mortality can become immortal or that matter can become spirit. It is saying spirit is and matter is not. When the Master says before the world, my kingdom is not of this world, he is stating that this world does not exist. That my kingdom of spirit is all that exists. And I know from my experience that you can learn to live in this awareness, even to a minor degree, and see wonderful things happen. Only spirit exists. And so, let's go back to all of our personal conditions. You look at any one of them or any 10 of them and they are not spirit, and that is simple right there. They do not exist. If your faith is mental, you'll discover you can hold this for today and then you lose it tomorrow. But if you practice this and learn to look at this world and all it contains as non-existent, you'll find yourself coming to a place where you can realize that behind the non-existence of the world there is an existence which is real and permanent of spirit, and you will realize the presence of that spirit. Something in you responds, makes contact. Something in you radiates the actual awareness of the spiritual universe. And then you know you have found my kingdom, which is not of this world. And although you're just a babe in the kingdom, you're higher than all those who walk the world of matter. And we learn to live as babes in this kingdom. We learn to struggle as little tiny infants, holding to one truth: only spirit is present. Whatever is not spirit has no existence. I don't have to overcome it. I don't have to see through it. I don't have to avoid it, defend against it, resist it, maneuver, manipulate it. It isn't there. Now, this is an absolute principle and a total one, and it would leave you, it seems, with nothing. All your material possessions exist in the world. The world is not reality. If your material possessions are in that which is not reality, are your material possessions real? We even include our bodies. When you know that only spirit is, then your body becomes like your automobile. You have an automobile. You use it to transport you. Now you learn you have a body, and your spiritual self is the invisible activity which to your visible sense appears as body. You learn that your visible body is a very small concept you entertain about your invisible body. Your invisible body is infinite, and we're at the level in consciousness now where the concept we entertain about that infinite invisible body appears as a physical visible body. It is only our concept about our invisible body. But our visible body is in the world. Therefore, it has no reality, because my kingdom is spirit. Now, I know this is a very difficult place to be. I also know what it does when you make the effort to be there. That's why I mention these cases to you. I want you to know that when you rest in the activity of spirit as the only present reality, you feel a subtle change in your consciousness. It loses beliefs in matter. You are lifted above your human consciousness, right out of it. You are given information, insight, intuitive awareness of another realm, the realm of spirit, and it then expresses as the harmony of your body or your purse. You find that when you are willing to follow the Master in the knowledge that only spirit is present, and take the time to dwell in that consciousness, the whole world of matter is redeemed. You are reconciled to Christ. Whatever is necessary is transformed, even in the visible world. And you will discover miracles happen, which seem to be miracles to others, which you begin to realize are the normal procedure of grace functioning as the living spirit of your being. Things that you cannot conceive of as being possible happen, because the spirit of your being is always in a state of grace. Now, when we accept my kingdom is not of this world, we are accepting that the state of grace which is the state of spirit, is always here functioning. Whenever you are under the illusion that you're not in a state of grace, you are not accepting yourself to be spiritual being. Your kingdom is spirit. Spirit is under divine grace. Spirit is here. Your kingdom is here. Grace is where your spirit is. And as you rest in the knowledge that I am spiritual being and transcend the mind which stops at a certain point, coming to the point of realizing, you will find that grace functions in your spirit right where you are as a permanent dispensation. This never stops. As long as you are true to the truth that only spirit is, and go through the trials and labors of coming to that conviction, so that it matters not who or where you are or when things occur to you, you know only spirit is, and therefore only grace is functioning. No matter what surface impressions of the world may appear through your five senses. Now, we've discovered something interesting in the Bible, and everyone who's a lover of the Bible and its truth will understand why it's so interesting. When we come to the statement of Christ Jesus to Pilate, Pilate has said, "What have you done? If you're not king of the Jews, what did you do? Why did they deliver you to me as a criminal?" Now, this Pilate the civil power of the law sets itself up to judge the Christ. And finally, he wants to know why Jesus isn't defending himself. And the statement made by Jesus may not be correctly translated as far as the world goes, and that has posed a very major problem. Now, here it is in the King James Version. And I want you to listen to it very carefully, because I think part of the inability of Christianity to understand Christ is right in this statement. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. And here's the part I want to call to your attention. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now, I know what that means, and I find as I go through certain other Bibles that the translator hasn't the vaguest idea what it means. And also, I don't think that from the King James Version, not from hence, Christianity has caught the point of what it means either. Now, here's another translation in the Schoenfield Bible. He says, my kingdom does not come from that source, instead of not from hence. My kingdom does not come from that source. Now, why would he use different phraseology? It's because they're both translating from the Greek, which in turn has been translated from the Aramaic. My kingdom is not from hence, says the King James Version. The Schoenfield says, my kingdom does not come from that source. Now, here is the Goodspeed Version, and that's 1837. my kingdom has no such origin. Do you see the difficulty the translators are having with whatever the Greek says? One says, my kingdom has no such origin. One says, my kingdom is not from that source. And the King James says, my kingdom is not from hence. And then, in the Moffat, still the same passage, my realm lies elsewhere. Now, isn't that strange? Four accredited Bibles, and here it says, no, my realm lies elsewhere. Another says, my kingdom is not from that source. Another says, my kingdom is not of that origin. And the King James alone says, now is my kingdom not from hence. Each one, Moffat, Goodspeed, and Schoenfield, have omitted the word now. And they have also tried to figure out what not from hence means. And so they have said, not of this origin. What they have all neglected to say was what Jesus Christ was saying here. Hence means here. Like in medieval times, in Shakespearean character, will say, get ye hence. Get out of here. Well, not from hence means not from here. And you see the great discovery then that comes to you when you see that Jesus Christ is saying, my kingdom is here. Now, he says, my kingdom is here. And they've all missed it. And so Christianity says, if you want to go to the kingdom of God, you have to die and go to heaven. And Jesus Christ is saying, no, my kingdom of God is right here now. Now is my kingdom not from hence. He's revealing the spiritual kingdom of God on earth is the only reality here. He's revealing the world isn't here, but the kingdom is. My kingdom is not of this world, but now my kingdom is here. My kingdom is here, the world is not here. My kingdom is spirit, and that is why I can walk through the experience of the torments of the world. There is no suffering, there is no pain. This is the illusion of the world. There is no disease, this is the illusion of the world, which does not know that reality is my kingdom of spirit here now. Now you and I are at the place where we are going to learn that when we live in the knowledge that my kingdom of spirit is here now, that this becomes the living experience of the all power of spirit. And all worldly powers, underline that word all worldly powers are revealed as powerless. When you are aware consciously, through all the effort it takes you to reach that awareness, that spirit is all that is here, you will discover that the whole battle is taken out of your hands. It all becomes a new consciousness in you, which no longer has to warm its hands over the fire made by coals, which stands in the midst of the condition and isn't lured into overcoming the condition. The condition is not spirit. There is no spiritual tumor, and only spirit is here. Therefore, where is the tumor? The tumor is in the belief that such a condition exists. And if you know that only spirit exists, and rest in that spiritual knowledge, the grace of spirit removes the illusion of tumor. The grace of spirit is present, and the words, "My kingdom, although it is not of this world," is present here now, not from hence, right here and now. That word "now" and "not from hence," meaning here. Now and here is spirit and only spirit. You are now in the kingdom of God, and instead of trying to make God change your human illusions, instead of trying to use spiritual power to get rid of the bad conditions and bring in good conditions, you overcome even that. You don't say, "Get rid of this condition and bring me some of those nice conditions." Instead, you live in your spiritual awareness and let spirit manifest in its own way. It may give you 4 rubber tires instead of the money to buy tires. One of our students told us about a load of cement tossed right outside his house. He hadn't even asked for anything, and it wasn't his cement. For some reason, they just tossed a load of cement out there. Well, he used it to build something he needed. Nobody wanted it, and he needed it. He needed cement for 6 months before somebody just dumped a load of it there. He could have used the money to buy it, but he got the cement. Nobody missed it or wanted it. They were getting rid of it. You'd be surprised how many things are brought to your door that you've needed, but if you thought about it, you would have needed the money to get them. And they come there anyway without the money. Always, the way of spirit cannot be anticipated, and if you outline to spirit, you waste your time and you also break the continuity. And so whatever the limitation may be, when you know that you must overcome that false sense of self which says, "I need this." Now that was all right in the earlier stages of spiritual living, or the attempts to live spiritually. But there is no "I need anything." You don't even need a pair of shoes. You don't need good health. You don't need anything. You see, when you talk from a need, you're denying "my kingdom is not of this world." You're saying there is a me here who needs. And you're denying your spiritual self, which is your only self. So this is the class in which we establish for ourselves that spirit is all there is. Besides spirit, there is nothing. And the moment you need something, you think there's something besides spirit. Now, when you get that new pair of shoes, it's going to be an illusion, just as much as the lack of the shoes was an illusion before that. My kingdom is spirit. And henceforth, know ye nothing in this world after matter, after flesh. If you want to live in the Christ truth, you have to live in the knowledge that only spirit is present. And it isn't something you mentalize. You must face the world with that knowledge. Only spirit is present. I'm not trying to change the bad illusions of matter into good illusions. I'm not trying to make the spiritual universe make my world a happier place. We are walking in the Spirit itself, as the Spirit, living in and by and through the Spirit. And whatever manifests in the outer world as a material this or that is but the evidence of the spiritual consciousness you are living in. The evidence of things unseen. We're not trying to make our lives better. We are spiritual beings who are now perfect. And so when the Christ says, "My kingdom is not of this world," but now my kingdom is not from hence. We are being told that we are spiritual being, that the kingdom of spirit is here, that we are living in it, and that the law of grace is functioning, and because of it the Christ needs no protection against the powers of man, because the powers of man do not exist. They are part of the world illusion. You and I, as spirit, can walk through the powers of this world knowing they have no existence. Only the kingdom of spirit is here. Matter is the mental imitation entertained about, and all the suffering that we can ever undergo is only in the imitation. Reality never suffers. You only suffer in the imitation. Every sickness is in the imitation form, never in your reality. Don't treat the imitation. And so, back to healing, when you see that spirit is all, spirit then is the only truth. And therefore, when there is something that is ailing or imperfect, it is an untruth, because spirit is perfect and spirit is all. Now, why would you want to treat an untruth? The way to overcome an untruth is not to treat it, but to know the truth. When you know the truth that spirit is all that is not spirit, whether it's ailing or not, loses its power over you. Now, if this stays in the mental state or the memory state, it will be meaningless and powerless. And it takes time and initiative and a willingness to stand before this crystallizes into living consciousness. That spirit is all there is. What is not spirit does not exist. And this world is not spirit. And all this world contains is not spirit. Spirit is invisible, and spirit is all there is. If you're wondering then, how do I know what is good or what is bad or what is real or unreal? The answer is, spirit is all and spirit is invisible. Nothing visible is real. Nothing visible. There's nothing excluded. Anything you can see with human eyes is not real. If you see the Christ, you'll have to see the Christ within your soul. If you see the spiritual universe, you'll have to see it within your soul. You cannot see it with your eyes. You cannot see reality with your eyes or touch reality with your eyes. And you are reality. You are invisible spirit. And as you know this, you will see why Christ walks through the evils of the world untouched. That which we see and call the Christ is not what is there. Christ is invisible. Even though we see a form called Jesus, we are not seeing Christ. Even though the world sees a form called you, they are not seeing the Christ that you are. And you must know that is who you are. Your kingdom is here. It is your invisible self, your invisible universe. And that is the consciousness, the Christ consciousness, which realizes what the human mind only mentalizes. Now, this is another dimension to live in, not to pay lip service to, as Peter did. You have to practice this very carefully. And I can assure you, it's a very frustrating experience for a while. But you find the more frustrated you get, the closer you're becoming to the place where suddenly it's so easy you can't believe it. I mean, it's just as if, why, there's no effort involved. All of a sudden, it just, there it is. Why, of course, there's only spirit. How could God turn us loose in the corruption that we see? The forms, the shapes, the figures, the objects, the things, all of nature, everything that can deteriorate or die or be diseased is a world illusion. We have sown to this illusion, to this flesh, to this matter, and we have reaped the death of the body, the diseases of the body, the malfunctions of the body, the difficult human conditions, and they are all part of the illusion of the senses of sowing to flesh when there isn't any. Sowing to the bark of a tree, to the blade of grass, to the weather. There isn't any. There's no weather in the kingdom. There's no bark of a tree in the kingdom. There's no liver and lungs in the kingdom. And all that is present now is the Spirit of God. That is your name, your identity. That is your habitation. It is right here, but it is not this world. You learn to live in it. You learn that you are the life which lives in the kingdom of spirit. You're not the form that lives in the world. The form that lives in the world is the degree of your limited consciousness made visible. Your consciousness translates into this form and its experience. Now, while we're on this subject of healing spiritually and living in the spirit, spirit being all, it must be seen that no material condition changes anything in spirit. There is only spirit, and so a tumor isn't changing spirit. Spirit or reality doesn't change because a tumor appears. Reality doesn't change because anything appears. Nothing in the visible changes the reality. The reality is always itself. And therefore, you never have to improve the reality. You have to find the reality. And so the solution to living in the spirit, to living independent of the conditions of form, is not to try to bring spirit into the world. That's part of the mental illusion. You cannot bring spirit into an illusion. You must step out of the world and live in the kingdom. When you step out of the world, that's where the condition is, in the world. The condition isn't in the kingdom. So instead of trying to improve the condition in the world, improving the illusion, step out of the world where the condition is into the spirit, and you'll find it isn't there. And then that which appeared in the world will disappear. Now then, stepping out of the world into my kingdom is the healing consciousness. It isn't improving the condition in the world, it's stepping out of the world into your kingdom. In other words, stepping out of the belief in matter into the acceptance that only spirit is here, which then becomes your spiritual consciousness. Is that clear? You step out of the belief in matter to get rid of it, a head cold or a sprained ankle. The belief that you have a head cold or a sprained ankle is a belief that matter is there. But spirit is only the presence, only the reality. You come back to the acceptance that only spirit is present. You seem to be walking away from the problem rather than meeting it. And that's fine. You're coming to the reality, and you don't have to meet that problem. You come to the reality, only spirit is here. I am spirit, I am the life of spirit. And the power of spirit, the power of God, is functioning in the spirit of my being now. You find the conditioning of the mind, which had been for a moment drawn into the belief of the ankle or the cold or the tumor, begins to be drawn into another area of consciousness. It is almost as if you feel yourself walking over a line. Something in you straightens up. Something in you disappears. One belief goes, and you find yourself strong in something saying to you within, I am the spirit. I am come. Where you are, I am now. And I am the spirit of your being. You begin to feel this. Now you're away from problems. You're just aware of the presence of the spirit. You see, what you had tried to mentalize is now over. You're past the mentalizing. This is the beginning of the realizing. The realizing is of the spirit. And as the spirit begins to work with you, finally you're out of mind. You're just resting in pure consciousness. And pure consciousness is that which said, my kingdom is not of this world. I am ruling my kingdom right here. Everything then in the invisible becomes a living force in your being. And the visible world is no longer governing you. You're no longer under the law of matter. You're under the law of spiritual grace in the invisible kingdom of your own being. Your kingdom is invisible grace of spirit, not this world. And I don't care who you are or where you are, whenever you discover that you are spirit and that spirit is all there is, and you are faithful to this and do not commit adultery by thinking there is spirit and matter. Do not step out of spiritual reality and adulterate truth with the belief that there's both spirit and matter. Then you won't be in spiritual adultery. You'll be in the single truth of being, the great truth announced by the Christ, that my kingdom is here now and it is pure spirit, and where it is, the world is not. Then you're a babe in the kingdom. And you can leave all the successful adults in this material world to their own miseries. You really will find the great glorious power of living spirit. You'll find that your rent is paid for your entire lifetime. You'll find that your health is assured for your entire lifetime. You'll find that you are truly an eternal being. You'll find that every word spoken by the Christ about spirit is the truth about you and about everyone you know. You won't forget the two commandments that Peter forgot. You'll know that in accepting only spirit is, you're fulfilling the first two commandments, and there's nothing more to fulfill. When you're loving spirit supremely and accepting no other, that's acknowledging me in all thy ways. When you're knowing that spirit is the identity of your neighbor, that's loving your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing more to do when you know that only spirit is. You're fulfilling the Bible. And if every day on this earth that you now spend is spent in living in the knowledge that only spirit is, you'll discover the power of transition is forming in your consciousness. If you continue in my word, and my word is, my kingdom is not of this world, but it is not from hence. Now it is here. Continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that freedom is freedom in eternity, not just freedom from momentary discomforts. That is permanent freedom in eternity. And that is the truth.